Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go. Oh, yeah. Y'all know what time it is? Talking sports with the 12th man. We're kicking off on August the 16th, Tuesday. Gentlemen, just again, thrilled to have everyone on the show. America, we are excited to bring this to you. Even though JQ is going to be running behind, I know he's doing some stuff with the stripers. Not the strippers. The Gwinnett stripers, if you will. Hopefully he'll join in and get some calls in and, all that fun stuff. Again, just shout out to happy anniversary to the wifey, and we had a great anniversary time, 27 years, celebrating all that fun stuff. Her birthday is coming up Thursday, so it's just amazing. Happy anniversary. Fun.
Appreciate
that, too.
Somebody's
so,
spending money.
What was your, how many years?
27 years.
What, did you get married when you were four?
I got married when I was two, so she was a child bride, so I was good, but... fun times, and life is great. Life is beautiful too. So again,
congratulations.
But without further ado, appreciate that. It's been a busy month, and we're gonna keep it going. But let's talk some sports, gentlemen. We got a lot of things to dive into. You guys looking fantastic. We always, Gary, appreciate everything you do. Hope that Curtis is doing good. We'll check in, see if we get a call from Naj, because Naj has been doing some crazy stuff calling in as well. So. Let's get this party started. Check in with the fellas. We're going to start with Rob Ford. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, feeling good, man. Took a little break from asparagus tonight. Had an amazing pizza, man. Went to this place called Viva Napoli. The owners are from Napoli, Italy, man. Some authentic pizza, man. It's amazing.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. I had to send y'all a picture of it.
Appreciate you sharing that every single week, man. I don't know without it. It wouldn't be the same without something about asparagus or whatever, man. So, Rob Ford, our resident foodie, is always sharing what's happening here. Apparently, he's going to share his picture too. So, good stuff. Auntie Nettie,
I call
Gary,
it
let's go.
Cheat meal Tuesday now.
Well, hey, this is what it's like to be retired. Travel around when I want and. Get up when I want, go to bed when I want. I'm just learning that, you've got to, when you've worked for so many years, I started working when I was 14. So I'm 62. And
wow.
You've got to really change your whole train of thought. You've got to retrain yourself to learn to just,
that's good, Rob.
Get up. And just do something that's enjoyable every day. And for me, it's really easy with my wife and my mom and, and our two little pugs. Black, they're both black, so black pugs matter as well, okay?
Yeah. Sounds like you live
little
the pug
black
life.
Pugs, and they matter. Believe me, they matter.
Pugs,
but you know
pug
what?
Lives matter.
Yes. You know what? Curtis is, he's hanging in there. My wife was with him day before yesterday. And you know what? He just fights on. He understands that life as you go through it is a series of struggles. And this one's a huge struggle for him. But he's just man enough to be up for it. He's not with us here tonight, but I'm just so grateful to have Curtis as one of my family. and one of my dearest, dearest friends. It's just, it's I'm grateful. I'm very blessed. Right.
Live the good life, Gary. We appreciate all that you share. And, yeah, like I said, I think as we kind of, you know, we talk about life, liberty, all kinds of things on the show, too, and that's definitely powerful words because retirement stuff is something that we're all eyeing. Obviously, we'll get there in different spaces. You know, I've got a master plan that may go a little quicker because, yeah, I just hate working for people, man. So that's why everything I do is kind of geared to setting myself up and just, you know, we're living off of one salary. We're doing some good things, man. I'm so excited, man. So the business is going well. DJ business, so it's a good situation too. So good stuff. And like you said, you got to treasure these moments and just make it count. You know, as much as we love Rob, the people
yep.
is fantastic, sir. Showing us love for, you know, his foodies and, you know, everything. It's a good thing, you know. So we're going to keep that positive energy going as always.
Yep.
So let's talk some sports here really quickly. Number of the show is always the same number, the 424. 243-9519. That's the number to call. That Naj, JQ, everyone calls in. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but certainly not least, we're on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/talkingsports12man. You'll find us as well. We post blog talk, mock drafts, anything trash talk, whatever, photos, videos, everything. We kind of post that on the 12th Man Sports page as well. So, gentlemen, let's jump right into it. We're right in the thick of baseball here. And we're going to do a quick preview of the NL playoff contenders, if you will. I know this is pretty interesting, Rob. I'll let you get your thoughts because if you kind of look at the NL, there's, you know, obviously we're looking at a couple divisions here. Right now, I'm assuming that we know that for the NL West, the Dodgers are definitely running away with that. They've got that sewn away. In NL Central, you're looking at kind of the competitive race between the Brewers and the Cardinals. And the NL East, that's the interesting one right now. You got the Braves and you got Mets. If the Braves can't pull this off, they'll definitely lock down that wild card spot with the, you know, the Phillies and the Padres kind of like trailing them as well too. So that's a quick overview. But I'm sure Rob, you can go in a little bit more depth about your thoughts about that playoff contenders, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you look at the National League. The Dodgers are just on an incredible roll right now, 9-1. And, you know, the Mets, even though it looks like they've lost two in a row to the Braves, congrats, Dre. But as I said before, they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs with DeGrom and Max Scherzer as a 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just going to be, you know, not impossible, but they're going to be a tough team to beat come playoff time. As you mentioned, the Cardinals in the battle with the Brewers, and it looked like the Brewers are going to have to win that division to get in because it doesn't look like that division is going to get a wild card team. Three wild cards this year. So right now the wild cards would be the Braves. The Phillies have been playing really good baseball, and the Padres are holding on to that last spot even without Tatis. When you look at it, you know, I look at the Dodgers, Mets, and the Braves being the top three teams in the National League, and surprisingly, I actually think those are the top three teams in baseball, period, right now. The Dodgers, Mets, and Braves, I think, are all in the National League as the top three teams in baseball right now. So it's going to be really intriguing. Braves got some good young players. The Mets got the lineup, and they got the starting pitching. And sometimes
right.
you look at this Dodger team and you wonder how they do it, but they just keep winning. And even with guys out and things of that nature. But the team to me to watch in this in the National League is the Mets, just because of their starting pitching. They could easily jump out on teams 2-0 in just about every series with that 1-2 punch as a starting pitcher.
Well, the one thing I would say with I'm going to ask you, can the Braves take on the Mets? Can they win the division? Can the Braves win the division? I'm asking you, Andre. Can they win the division right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I'm going to say yes, but like I said, it's as Rob said, it's not going to be easy. I think that was the next topic because right now the first series against in New York, I don't think not so they didn't take it seriously, but I don't think they took it as seriously as the Mets did. The Mets, you know, they were like, it was like playoff baseball immediately. So this series, now we're like, all right, we're ready for you guys. And obviously some moves that you saw tonight, the first game, 13-1, butt kicking, then the next game, obviously we won tonight, 5-0. So, you know, we're definitely kind of stepping up to that too. So, you know, again, even though Scherzer and DeGrom are a tough team and or tough, you know, once you punch, you know, the Braves, we're not intimidated. You know, we've got that. Sometimes you have to get, you know, you have to go through that experience and kind of get the monkey off your back beating a great team like the Dodgers. I mean, these things actually change the squad. And we did this last year without Acuna. So that's even more impressive to kind of see how we're playing right now. I mean, the young players, Austin Riley's having an MVP type of season. You know, Michael Harris, this he came out of nowhere in the minors. And it seems like every move that Alex Anthopoulos is actually doing, it's doing wonders. Like, he's kind of the mad scientist kind of making these crazy moves. You know, obviously we called up Von Grissom, you know, second baseman again, kind of same as Michael Harris, producing right out the gate. And he does a really good job of kind of identifying players, very similar to Moneyball, identifying players and saying, okay, this is the right time for this to happen. And then I'll let you talk about it too, Gary, because I know I've been talking a lot. But just if you think about we were pretty upset about losing Freddie Freeman, right? That was a huge, you know, deal for us. And then we're like, you traded half the farm to get Matt Olson. Now, Matt Olson's been playing well. But on the flip side, think about how if we had Freddie Freeman, maybe we don't call up a Michael Harris. Maybe we don't call up all these different moves, you know. So it's interesting to see how because of that, you know, you gave up a farm, but we still had to, you know, kind of replenish. But now you're kind of, you know, you're pulling up players from, you know, AA, and they're actually producing more. I mean, Michael Harris didn't have a lot of power in the minors, but he's actually playing better now. So it's just amazing to see all these moves. And yeah, I mean, like I said, Rob nailed it that Dodgers are scary, the Mets are scary. But, again, we've had that resolve to say we can actually compete. Now, like I said, Soroka is still out there. Hopefully he comes back. You know, there's still maybe some question marks for the starting pitching, starting rotation. But right now, Alex Anthopoulos is actually doing some nice little moves. And, you know, the Braves are playing very, very confident right now, I'll say. So I'm going to shut up and kind of get your thoughts on that, too. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, and the Braves have cut that division lead down to 3.5 games, too.
You know, I had the Dodgers, Mets, and St. Louis. But, you know, the rest of this team, I mean, the National League, I think, is pretty stacked, the top five or six teams.
Yeah.
You know, with Atlanta, Philly, Padres, and now Brewers. Those teams are good. And
the
I don't
Phillies
know how
it's
going
right to
all
too.
End up. Pardon me?
The Phillies are hot right now, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm curious to see how it's all gonna pan out, but any one of those second team, you know, the Mets, if they stub their toe a little bit, you know, if they start playing Yankee baseball, Philly will. If the Mets play Yankee baseball, Atlanta will win. Because the Yankees are sucking.
Yeah, we got to talk about that too, guys. What's wrong with the Yankees? We'll let
and
Rob get his
disgusted.
Thoughts too, because what's going on? I mean, that's a good call. What's Rob? I know really want to get your thoughts on the Braves real quick too, because you know obviously we talked about the youth movement, what's happened with that too, and we'll talk about the Yankees too, because that seems to be a pretty serious issue too. So go ahead, Rob, with that, get your thoughts in there.
Yeah, when you look at the Yankees right now, actually their pitching has been pretty good. They just can't generate any runs right now. I mean, and it's hard to believe that losing DJ LeMahieu and Giancarlo Stanton has been that big of a difference in the Yankees lineup. I mean, they are really, really struggling. And one run tonight, zero last night, zero on Sunday. You're talking about one run in three games, which was supposedly early in the year the most vaunted lineup in baseball. I mean, they've only scored two runs in the last 31 innings. They've only scored one run in the last three games. They are 3-12 in the last 15 games. So they are really, really struggling. But like I said, if the bats can get going, they are really getting some good pitching. you know, night in and night out. Cortez tonight got in the hole and gave three runs to the Rays in the first inning, but didn't give up anything the rest of the night. But they only scored one run, and that's the problem. They got Josh Donaldson batting number four in the cleanup. He needs to be down at the bottom of the batting order. So, I mean, you got to get DJ LeMahieu back. They got to get Juan Carlos Stanton. They got to get Aaron Judge back going. Rizzo needs to get going. And Ben Nintendi, the guy that got in the trade from the Chiefs, not the Chiefs, the Royals, they need to get him going as well. So right now they're just not generating any runs, and that's what shoot themselves in the foot right now.
Well, they're playing, Rob, they're playing some of the worst baseball, you know, in the American League, to be quite honest with you. And I'm a Yankee fan, but, you know, when
they're
you're 2-8
with averaging.
You know, when you're 2-8 and in the last 10, and I don't know how many games they've lost in the last 20, but a whole hell of a lot. Yeah. The only other team
got a losing record
that
the All-Star
done
break
are the Tigers in the last 10, and they're a bottom feeder. They've won. They went 2-8, and the only other one that had a worse record in the last 10 games is Oakland, and they went 1-9. I mean, as a diehard Yankee fan, I'm like, you know, we're approaching September. Let's get it on. Let's get this started. You know, us Yankee fans, you know, we've been spoiled with that.
They are really struggling right now.
So I hope you're right. I hope getting a few key players back, that pitching stays focused, and, you know, but right now I'm scared. Right now, if the season was over right now, you know, I'm thinking we're out right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree.
The way it seems right now.
I think they still have a chance if they get LeMahieu and Juan Carlos Stanton with the way they're pitching. If they don't get those guys back, you can forget it. They'll be watching the playoffs with us.
Rob, Gary, so do you feel that the Yankees did enough during the trade deadline to make some moves to address some situations, or do you think that was kind of they weren't aggressive enough, or how do you feel was that enough to kind of get you guys over the hump, if you guys kind of take a step back?
I want to say it's incomplete until we see the entire team back. I think from a pitching standpoint, the bullpen got stronger. So you definitely got stronger in the bullpen. I just want to see how this lineup is going to come together once Juan Carlos Stanton and DJ LeMahieu comes back. They got to get their full lineup intact. Josh Donaldson, bat number four in the cleanup spot, he's got to go. He's got to be bat number 8 and 9. That's how desperate they are right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, you get a couple of key guys back, and if they can come back, and they can come back, you know, and get this team rolling. This is a team that, boy, if you can get them rolling, they really can't be stopped with. But
they
right now,
rolling,
the way they're playing, I'm worried.
This guy.
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm worried.
Yeah. They got to turn it around pretty quickly, gentlemen, because we're in like the second half of the season, so they got to make some moves. And Rob said, you know, hopefully, folks get healthy, and we'll see what happens too, because the pitching has been good. You know, hopefully you're just looking for the bats to definitely wake up too. So we'll see how they play in the second stretch. But if you're looking at the top rankings, if you look at just record alone, they're definitely top five. So that's the thing. They're doing just enough to kind of keep them in the conversation. Obviously, my top five pretty similar. You're going to have the Dodgers at the top. I've got the Mets number two because, again, until, you know, we kind of knock them down, this is strictly looking at record. You can flip between the Mets and the Astros. They're kind of at a 75-42 record. The Braves are right there with 72-46 record, and then you got the Yankees. They're right there too. They're 72-45. So, you know, in spite of all the challenges, you guys are definitely still up there with the number of wins and losses. So, like you said, you're open for that second turnaround. So, what's with you guys as far as your top five?
I have the Dodgers in the number one spot. I mean, they're just playing the most consistent baseball. Even though the Mets have lost two in a row to the Braves, I got the Mets in the two spot. I have the Braves in the three spot. So, as I mentioned, I think the top three teams in baseball in the National League. I have the Astros in number four, and I still got the Yankees in the top five. Even though they're struggling right now, I still think they have an opportunity to turn this around once they get Juan Carlos Stanton and DJ LeMahieu, the LSU Tiger, back in the lineup. So I have them in the number five spot currently. But, you know, as I mentioned, I think the top three teams in baseball are in the National League right now. But I think the Astros are right now the best team in the American League. And they got Justin Verlander, who is the top Cy Young candidate right now in the American League.
Yeah. I've got the Dodgers, the Mets, St. Louis. Gosh,
oh.
I got to put the Braves in there at four, and at five I've got the Astros. And it's too bad that, in my opinion, the fifth best team in my power ranking is an American League team. You know, that's what sucks about that. Plus, American League guys.
It's not bad. I mean, like you said, Gary, if you're looking at, you know, record only, the Yankees are definitely top five. But, you know, Cardinals,
I don't put them,
you know.
I've got to go. You also got to look at how they're playing now. Injuries,
mm-hmm.
You know, these sort of things. I don't think the Yankees in a seven-game series right now could beat any of the teams that I just mentioned.
Wow. Okay. No, that's fair. Like I said,
I wouldn't
it's
bet
definitely
I would be
right
glad
now.
That
what
they
like,
won,
right,
and I would wear my Yankee pinstripes, but I would be really, really worried about any of these teams.
Gotcha.
What
nice.
Do you say about that, Rob?
I don't know if you saw this. No, and just, wow, I just saw a quick thing that popped up that Michael Harris has agreed to like an 8-year, $72 million extension, something like that. That is insane. They are locking up those young guys. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That just came
but
up.
But, Gary, to your point, you know, looking at the Yankees at this current moment, I would agree with you. With LeMahieu and Stanton out and the way they're playing right now, I don't think there's many teams in baseball there they will beat in a seven-game series right now. But if they can get those guys back and the pitching keeps going, I think they still have a shot. I don't know if they'll beat the Astros, but I think they still have a shot.
Yeah, we gotta turn it around, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the beat around. I love it. So you're too young to know about that one, Gary. Little Gloria Estefan there. Hey, let's talk about the really quickly. I think making sure JQ's not calling in. I think you mentioned it earlier, Rob, about the AL Cy Young leaders. Justin Verlander is definitely up there. Dylan Cease, I think, is another prediction. And Valdez, I want to make sure. I think that's one of the guys I'm thinking. But I don't know if you have the same characters for the top three or top five. I don't know if you want to kind of highlight those as far as the leaders for the AL Cy Young race.
Well, here's the deal. I think it's all Justin Verlander right now. 15-3.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's leading the American League in strikeouts with like 184 strikeouts. I don't think I need to even talk about anybody else. I mean, he's running away with the Cy Young. The Astros right now, like I said, are the best team in the American League. You got the best pitcher. Gerrit Cole, solid, 9-4, 3.3 ERA. But Justin Verlander is straight kicking ass, 15-3. I think he's got a 1.84 ERA. having a phenomenal year. So to me, he's that guy right now, hands down the leader for the Cy Young Award in the American League.
You know,
it's unfortunately
really
placed for the hated Astros.
I don't really have – I know I hate the Astros. I wouldn't really have anything – I don't have anything else to say. Verlander's just it's his. I mean, he's just – he's dominating.
Yeah. Good call. All right, gentlemen, let's keep moving.
You know,
so
Dylan Cease from the Chicago White Sox having a good year, too. 1.96 ERA, 174 strikeouts. But I still think it's Verlander. But he would be the guy for number two if he had to go with the number two guy.
Nice. You guys can hear me, right? My phone is coming through, right? Is everything coming through with the phone call, with the AirPods? Is it coming through?
Yeah, we can hear you well.
Okay. I'm just making sure because I thought I said the same thing. Okay, I was making sure y'all hearing everything. Okay, cool. Let's dive into the NFL here. And Rob, will you kind of lead us off as far as the top five NFL most valuable player candidates. Kind of curious to hear what you have. Do we have some quarterbacks up there? Do we have any wide receivers? mine looks very quarterback heavy, but I would love to see who you have for your top five NFL MVP candidates.
I have all five quarterbacks, and it might
too.
Be a little surprising on the order.
Mm-hmm.
I have Josh Allen number one, thinking he takes another step this year. I have Joe Burrow number two, LSU Tiger. Justin Herbert.
Surprise.
Justin Herbert, number three, believe it or not. Patrick
Mahomes,
number four, and Aaron Rodgers, number five. Those are my five guys right now that I have for in the MVP chase this year. No Tom Brady.
Hey, Ron, thank you for that.
Well, you know, I've got the same guys, not in that order. But we do have Josh Allen at number one with the Bills. He's a real complete quarterback. Every one of these quarterbacks are phenomenal. But I've got Justin Herbert in the two spot. I think Chargers are going to win their division. I got Joe Burrows at the three spot. I got Patrick Mahomes, the fourth spot, and Aaron Rodgers in the fifth spot. But any one of these guys can win it.
Well, the only thing
but
we had different
have
was
right
two
now.
And three, Gary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to take Dak
life.
Prescott in there.
No, Dak Prescott's lucky to be a top 12 quarterback.
Wow.
They had him in the odds up there. They had him in the odds as the number, I think, six guy, too. Mine is just a little off. I've got Josh Allen at the number one spot. I got Patrick Mahomes at number two, Justin Herbert at number three, Aaron Rodgers at number four, and then Joe Burrow at number five. And like I said, I think we all have a disdain for Tom Brady because according to if you Google it, they've got Tom Brady number three, but there's no way I want to put him back in that talk, if you will, too. So just more or less, I know he. We talk about all the time about his skills declining and he getting beat by the Saints twice last year. So right now I know he may have a lot to prove.
Four times in the last 2 years.
Absolutely.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, again, he's getting by. You know, he plays the defense has really bailed him out a couple situations too right now. So still, I mean, I'm not hating on him, but I'm just saying bro, come on. You know, you're getting old.
Yeah.
So I think we all agree about that for sure.
Overall, he still had a really good year last year, Tom Brady. When you look at from an overall perspective, right? I know he struggled, against the Saints and maybe one other team or so. But based on a lot of reporters' information, obviously we're not privy to being at Buccaneers training camp practices. But from what I hear, he has not looked that great. Now he's away from the team for a little while, and it could be something going on. has got his mind out off of football right now too. So we don't know what that looks like. Hopefully everything's okay family-wise, things of that nature. But I know he stepped away from the team for a while, but I hear from what he was there, he was not looking that great. And you got to think at some point those skills got to deteriorate. But they say the guy can still throw the ball 60 yards down the field, which for a 45-year-old is phenomenal, like unbelievable. Yeah. But I think he has a drop-off this year. And I would not even be surprised if Tom Brady all of a sudden retires before the season starts. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does. I mean, stepping away from the team.
Wow, that's a little nugget for us.
Bold predictions over here. Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I mean, he's stepping away from the team. I don't think he's ever done that. But there's something going on, right? It could be something, like I said, family-wise. Like I said, hopefully he's okay. He hasn't looked that great in practice. There's something going on. Ryan Jensen is probably out for the season, the starting center. Ali Marpet, as starting right guard, retired. And Tom Brady's not a guy that can run a 4-5, right? He probably can't run a 5-5 at this point in his career. And
able to beat Tom Brady in a 40.
Yeah.
I might be able to.
I would pay to see that.
Most quarterbacks are not going to be successful without an offensive line, but Tom Brady desperately needs an offensive line. And having two interior starters gone from last year, that's a big blow.
It's a big blow.
Here's my two predictions. Tom Brady will play a full season for his last year. He's just got too much ego. He's got enough ego to think if he starts, you know, if he's thinking about other things, he probably still got enough ego to just push through it. But that could cost him. Could cost him the, you know, making the playoffs, whatever. My second prediction is I could beat JQ out on the golf course playing from the black tees like a redheaded stepchild.
Do nothing.
Oh, welcome.
You would have to call in all your Justin points and your AARP points just to get out there without two. Listen, see how he does? I was trying to be cool and walk in there.
It won't
all
cost me. I didn't think you were on the line. JQ, I'd like to retract that last statement. I didn't think you were on the line yet. I heard you, my brother.
Oh, man.
points are racking up, let me tell you.
But they are. But, no, in all honesty, I hear what you're saying about Tom Brady. I wouldn't be surprised about that, but honestly, Gary, I agree with you. He's so – that's so much of the ego. I feel like he feels like he's got to go out there. I feel like he can still do it when the chips are down. So, hey, I'm the GOAT, and when everything is not pleasant, I can still make it happen. But, man, his offensive line is taking the beat. And Rob just laid it out for you. Then Gronk retires on him as well. Chris Godwin, they think he's going to be back. So they try to get Julio, we talked about in our text messages, hasn't played a full season in how many years. So that's why Rob is so ecstatic. Rob wants him to retire. If he retires, the Saints can win that division going away. Mm-hmm. So I know why Rob says that. He's like, yes, retire.
Oh, yeah. He's
retired, Tom Brady. He's all in. He wants Tom Brady to retire tomorrow. But
tomorrow, you better believe it. I think the Saints got outside shots to win it, even if he played.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
He's trying to throw the whole jinx on Brady right now. I understand that. I do too.
But there is some validity to be saying, though, that Tom Brady has always been a pocket passer, and everything that's happening right now is a big blow to his offensive line. His running back shows up. Out of shape. Chris Godwin has torn ACL. He's just trying to come back from. They've had defections along the offensive line in free agency. So we'll see. That NFC South is, I think, is really, I'll be honest with you, I think it's the same for Luke. And I'm not saying that just to be with my boy Rob. I just think that last year Jameis was actually playing pretty well. That people don't want to give credit for, because Jameis was like a walking joke to a lot of people. But he was playing really good ball. Fans have a good. He was doing just enough to keep him in the game and excelling with it. I think he might have to make the same paper in the NFC South right now.
Yeah, I think we got a legitimate chance. I really do, and not just because it's my team. I don't know if I'm ready to say if we're going to win it, but I'm close to saying if we're going to win it.
The offensive line is a problem with them. It's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. And the Saints is already putting heat on them, even with their, all of those guys starting, too. And,
right.
You know, with that, with the pass rush from Davenport and Cam Jordan and other guys, that there's one thing the Saints do have is quite a few pass rushers on there, only come off of their edge right now. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But I think there's got to be some cause for concern for Tampa Bay right now. I really do. And you look at it, you know, I think we said this on last week's show or the week before that. There's I think just about every team, all the top teams in the NFC, just about all of them have question marks. Even the Rams. I think the Rams have some question marks on the offensive line. I really do. I think, and then, you know, I don't know how serious Stafford elbow situation is. They're coming out saying that Cam Akers' injury is not that serious. You look at Tampa Bay, the offensive line, and even the Saints. You know, as good as their overall roster is, you know, obviously there's still some question marks at the quarterback position. And the same with the 49ers, even though Trey Lance looked pretty good this past week in preseason. But, you know, just about all the top teams in the NFC have some question marks. So I feel like whereas the AFC is just loaded with a lot of good teams with not that many question marks, too. So the AFC is just loaded.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. So we're going to keep on the same vein, talking about what's happening with the NFL. And we know it's early, week one of the NFL, but I guess we're going to talk about, and we can, you know, we're going to go around the horn here. If you want to talk about a specific player, but just kind of your thoughts as far as some top five first rounders after week number one. I'm sure everyone can talk about some pluses, some minuses. Whether you're impressed with Trayvon Walker, his play with the Jags, you know, obviously, you know, you're playing against Cleveland, and you know, Deshaun did not play well, but you know, talk about him. You talk about, you know, Aiden Hutchinson. You know, he had a couple stops, you know, with the Falcons that wasn't good, but you know, Falcons were able to kind of pull that one out. You can talk about Kayvon Thibodeau. You can talk about, you know, any of those players. Everyone may have a different view as far as what you saw, but plus or minus. JQ, I don't know if you're able to kind of talk, you know, kind of have you back for your thoughts on, you know, first rounders after week number one.
I do not. I mean, I watched a little bit, but I didn't watch enough to have that, and I was not working, so I didn't. I don't. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, all good. Okay, go to you, Rob. Go ahead. What's your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, five guys for me, and it's all about the linemen. To me, that were pretty impressive here. Trayvon Walker, as you mentioned, I thought played the run extremely well in both of his first two games. Not getting a lot out of the pass rush. I think he had one pressure, I believe, in the first two games, but playing the run extremely well. Ekwonu Ekwonu from Carolina, you know, he got to go against Montez Sweat in one of the best pass rushers.
Yeah.
And he did a phenomenal job. I mean, really held him in check. So, I mean, that was a good measuring stick for him, I thought. And he was awesome. I mean, Sweat couldn't get anything going against him. So Carolina looked like they might have a stud right there. I hate to say it in our own division there. Charles Cross, another lineman, offensive tackle, Seattle drafted at the number 9 pick. He was dominant. Nobody was getting around him in the run game or even in pass protection. Zion Johnson, offensive guard for the Chargers, Boston College, picked him at the number 17 spot. And he was dominant in the run game, too. And the Chargers ran about a lot in that preseason game. And then last but not least, George Latafis, the defensive end from Purdue for the Chiefs. Chiefs took him at the number 31 spot, latter part of the first round. We know the Chiefs need some defense. And, man, he had three quarterback pressures in limited time on the field. So he looked like a guy that might have come in to be a big impact player right away from them. So those are the five guys that you can say after one preseason game that might have an impact. And like I said, that's all defensive ends and offensive linemen out of that five so far.
Well, I really didn't get a chance to, you know, see any of the games. But I'll go with that. That sounds really, really good. Good job for doing the research for us.
The thing about it is it's hard. It's hard to talk about it because if you watch the
game, right?
Watch the pieces of the games. It's like what is the bottom of my 80-man roster at this point when we got to get down to 53 compared to your bottom of your 80-man roster. And some teams have done a great job. I won't give them, you know, I won't say that negative about it, but all of those ain't going to make the team because you only have 53 dudes, right? So these first couple of games, it's hard for me to get excited about when everybody's gone to the bottle of we aren't playing anybody, and I agree with it. I'm not getting nobody hurt for no reason. Zach Wilson, you know what I mean? But I'm not getting nobody hurt.
Mm.
So I'm going to let the bottom of my roster play the bottom of your roster to see who's going to get these last 5 or 7 spots, right? So, and to Rob's point, they're all offensive, defensive linemen, and that's why you don't put the wide receivers or running backs or quarterbacks on it. So it was hard for me to judge that because it was like a whole bunch of my bullshit versus your bullshit, see who comes out on top. So it's hard for me to make a real big judgment and get excited about what I saw.
Yeah, and right now we're strictly looking at first-rounders too, right? Because, you know, again, that's they're going to get the most opportunities to be successful, right? So, you know, again, if you're the Falcons, you know, I'm just excited to see Drake London play, even though he got hurt after that. You know, you're still like, I want to see him make some progress. You know, he's been really shining in camp, so how is he going to play? But,
he's
you know, that,
player,
looking
baby.
At, like you said. Say it again, Rob. Say it again.
I said, he's a Ohio player. No, that was me.
Yeah,
I said,
Jack. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, you're young. It's good. But like I said, it's only one game, you know, two, obviously,
right.
For Trayvon Walker. So it's really early, right? You're going to make some mistakes. You know, you want to see that flash, if you will, but you just don't know. Like, one game is not making a player, obviously. So, but there's some promising news, like you said. You know, obviously, hey, this person can hold his own. You're going to get some film on a player, and you just want to see that progress, too. So you're like, hey, like you said, JQ, they've made some good strides. We drafted correctly. Like you said, Rob, a lot of talent on that offensive defensive line in the trenches, too. So let's see how that, you know, how the league kind of evolves and success, too. Speaking of that, too, we'll talk about Kenny Pickett. He's taken the first team snaps in Steelers camp. I know, JQ, you can hold your ears for this one. But then also, there's a tweet about how once, you know, how the Steelers offense went kind of back to circa the 2021 Dolphins because it was like Kenny Pickett was just doing, like, checkdowns, little wide receiver screens. He wasn't really throwing any deep. He was basically doing, like, dink and dunk type of passing. They did not want to put him in a situation to, like, go deep down the field, too, which is pretty interesting. I don't know if you saw
and
that.
And they're
that
playing
a
bad Seattle team. Like, there
right.
are good teams
right.
out there that have a good roster. Seattle's roster is terrible, probably from top to bottom outside of, like, 8 dudes. So people are getting all excited about what Kenny Pickett did. I was like, let's keep watching. That Seattle team might pick in the top 5 next year in the draft.
Woo! Yeah. I mean, besides Jamal Adams, I mean, like you said, I do like their pick of, you know,
He's
I
probably
mean,
not the same player anymore either.
Right.
Yeah, he's been taking a lot of hits too.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
like
that's
you said,
another
they
one
may
that,
be in a situation.
That's another
go,
one
go,
that might
go.
Go. That's another one that might go. Pete Carroll after this season's over.
Uh-huh.
Hey,
he might call
uh-huh.
it quits.
Yeah, you're Indeed. Right. You're right, Gary. But I will say this. At least. They did hit on Charles Cross. Like you said, Rob, you nailed that too.
Yeah.
You like the potential in that tackle. He played really well. So he's setting him up. So they got a tackle for that quarterback that they may get next year if they're top 5. Because you know they're probably going to be looking at a quarterback right now. Because we know for a fact
100%.
That whatever the hell they're throwing out there ain't going to be that is not the shit, whatever, too. So, you know, Baker Mayfield didn't not looking good. you know, Sam Darnold, you know, so whatever the hell's happening in Carolina, too. So you got a situation, too. So that's just interesting because you thought the rumors about them trying to trade for Baker Mayfield, and he has not been playing well at all either. So that's been crazy, too. So agree on that. JQ, you joined us just in time. I don't know, Rob, if you want to talk briefly about the Patriots placing Malcolm Butler on IR. I know that's Gary's favorite team, if you will. He's over here smiling, JQ. He's like, Jack Wad. Gary's face is smiling.
I'm going to get you. I'm going
to
get you.
That's the second cornerback this week that they've had to place on season-ending IR. So you got to have some concern about their depth. Now, obviously, Malcolm Butler was a Super Bowl hero when they beat the Seahawks some years ago. But mm-hmm. obviously, he wasn't the same player anyway that he was back then. So he's really more of a guy on the roster for depth purposes, fourth, fifth cornerback. But if you look at the Patriots, you got to have some concern right now at the cornerback position. Two cornerbacks now placed on IR out for the season. It's really going to hurt their depth long term. I think this is a team that definitely drops off a little bit from last year. And we saw
a whole lot.
Even though they made the playoffs, I think they struggled toward the end of the season. I think they struggled a little bit. I think they'll be lucky to go 9-8 this year.
Ooh, you go better than I would say.
I had 8-9, but now I'm going to go.
I said they'll be lucky to go 9-8.
Look at Gary.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing happening is, you know, we don't have Tom Brady to cover up for all those ills. And you look at it, Belichick early in his career, I think, really did a really good job drafting, and he just kind of got too caught up in his own genius, right? And you look at a lot of those dudes he's drafted the longer on the team, and that affects your depth, and you can only pay so many people, and you're like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with the Patriots. They ain't going to finish last. I'm not going to say that. They're not going to finish behind the Jets.
No.
But they might finish behind Buffalo and Miami. They might.
They
might finish third in that division.
I think they're third in that division. I do.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. The Jets, man, losing Zach Wilson. I mean, I know that they talked about that he may come back for the first week, but you don't know. That's a tough blow for the Jets.
Man.
Again, so Lord have mercy. It's
they're
going to
start
just,
the season with 69-year-old Joe Flacco.
Kyle's got problems. Hey.
He ain't wrong.
Again, he's not wrong. That's why I didn't really have nothing to say. But that's a true statement until Andy Dalton or Cooper Rush. Who's that, Gary? Is that Cooper Rush? That place? Who's the back quarterback?
Cooper Rush?
There it is.
Come on, the Cowboys got to have a better back quarterback than that. It can't be still Cooper Rush, man.
Why
would you want to go be the backup quarterback for the Cowboys? Unless you just don't want to play football, you know you're never playing unless that breaks another ankle. Like, I wouldn't want to go play the backup. You have no chance. They pay him all that money. You have no chance to ever play. So unless you're just good with collecting a backup QB check and being good with that,
I'm going to get it.
Then you're not going to go play for the Cowboys.
I'm
going to get a check.
That's pretty much with any of these, you know, teams. When you have a quarterback, like I just mentioned earlier, I have Dak Prescott as probably at number 12 if there was a quarterback power ranking right now. So there are 11 others that are better, and there are several of them that are worse, whatever it is. But your starting quarterback, you don't just all of a sudden lose out. Very, very seldom, unless you're name a starting quarterback that's lost his job mid-season. I can't think of one offhand right now, but I'm sure there has been. But most of the time, you go with your starting quarterback.
Drew Bledsoe. That's how Tom Brady came about.
Yeah.
Well,
I thought we were talking more recent, Rob.
Hmm?
Yeah. He
RG3.
Got hurt, and then
RG3, I'm sure.
Kirk Cousins put out that was another one. he got hurt, and then, right? Those guys got hurt, and then when they healed up, the other guy just did, you know, better than what they were. You know, of course, Tom Brady ended up being, you know, the GOAT. So, geez.
Wow.
That was a, you know,
rest
you know.
History,
yeah, so.
No, you nailed it, Gary. That was good analysis for sure. We got 10 minutes in the show. We wanted to hear JQ came on perfectly because there was a quote from Darvin Ham that says he will not repeat, not hesitate to bench guys. What are your thoughts on this, JQ?
He shouldn't even say guys. There's not an S on the end of it. There's one guy that we all are talking about. We all know what he's going to. It's Russ. And that's it.
LeBron
right?
James?
I mean, stop it.
LeBron James.
Well, maybe there's an S. Because listen, if Anthony Davis don't get his shit together, you need to sit him down too. So I'll take that back. There's two of them. But it's close to Russ. Listen,
only problem is you look at that Laker bench and who you gonna put in? Man, Darvin Ham might put a uniform on.
But sometimes you gotta make a statement. And I mean, it's August. It's August 16th. The season starts in what? Real for real starts in. What's the first game? Is it October or November?
October.
Yeah, so I mean they still work on the phone. Listen. That Brooklyn organization is a dumpster fire. So I am still not giving up hope that we're going to be able to get Kyrie. Because Kevin Durant is going to burn it down to the ground, and they might – listen, so let me say this, and I pass it to you. Before we started into the offseason, and it's not a glamour organization, but do you think going into this offseason that you would get Gobert being traded – and they're talking about all the stuff for Donovan Mitchell. Utah has burnt it to the ground. Like, I thought they might tweak it to try to make themselves better. Utah has said, you know what? Boom. Shut down shot, starting over. Brooklyn might do that, depending on what they can get. Now, Kevin Durant is not making it helpful for him with what he has happening. But you can't put that out there, what he has happening right there, because if you get rid of Kevin Durant, then what's the point of keeping Kyrie? So I'm holding out hope. I will say it. I'm holding out hope. Keep hope alive, Jesse Jackson.
Keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive that we can get Kyrie Irving, okay? Because I just don't think that situation in Brooklyn is sustainable. I don't.
Yeah, would you rather trade the Russell Westbrook for Kyrie or Russell Westbrook for Miles Turner and the –
Buddy Hield?
What's the guard? Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield. Ooh, Miles Turner, Buddy Hield.
I agree because I think the Lakers need players, not a player. I think they need depth. And I think I would go that. If you have the choice, I know that was some talk at 1.2. I would go to Buddy Hield and Miles Turner route. I mean, you got two bigs and Turner and Anthony Davis. You can go back to letting LeBron be the facilitator. And now you got a jump shooter and Buddy Hield you can kick the ball out to. To me, I think that's you find another defensive stopper to play with them. And I think you got yourself fight right back into the playoffs. And that kind of lineup. 50
wins.
This guy.
I'll go with that. I hope they don't get jack shit. I hope the Lakers are stuck with Westbrook.
Auntie Nettie has spoken. Auntie Nettie.
This hateful. So hateful. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Thank you for recognizing. Yes. Absolutely, yes.
Man, this is the greatest soap opera ever to see what's happening right now. Like, Russell Westbrook, you ain't going to put me on the bench. This is hilarious, man. I can't wait to see what happens. He's like,
he ain't going to be there. He ain't going
to
be there.
No.
It's a long game.
Hey, All they have to do is have another conference call. Everything will be good.
I ain't doing it. You put me on the bench. You know who I am?
I know. They had a conference call, JQ. You forgot about that. They said they're going to make it work.
They're full of shit. They just put that out there to increase this trade stock. I don't care what y'all say. That conference call never happened.
We got the
audio. I ain't going to the bench. I ain't going to the bench, man. I ain't going to the bench. Hey,
that's just to keep your top up.
So, speaking of the Jazz, yeah. So there's been some movement, right? The Knicks and the Jazz are kind of reopening trade talks for Donovan Mitchell. So this is pretty interesting. And we talked about them tampering, but now they're like, hey, that's the water in the bridge. Let's open this up. So, I mean, you talk about an interesting situation. I mean, is Donovan Mitchell enough to bring some excitement? And how serious is this actually is this kind of smoke fire or what's happening? Rob, I'll let you go around the room. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the Knicks obviously want to get back into the playoffs, right? So they're going to try to do everything they can. I mean, they brought in Brunson as well. But now they're starting to include Julius Randle in the conversation here. So you have to wonder. So Julius Randle and more first-round picks. I mean, the Utah Jazz will have as many first-round picks as Oklahoma City Thunder if that happens, right? But you're giving up Randle, so you're going to have Donovan and Brunson. But what your front court is going to look like then, too. But if they can find a way to get Donovan and keep Julius Randle, then you might have yourself a top four or five team in the Eastern Conference. But they're trying to give up Julius. They're wavering Julius Randle and a bunch of first-round draft picks right now. So we'll see if the Utah Jazz budge on that.
They try to get rid of that Julius Randle contract. I think they got buyer's remorse. Julius Randle had one of the year. Restaurant got them to the fifth seed and got them in the playoffs. And they was like, oh, yeah. And they realized, oh, he's still Julius Randle. Why the hell did we give him all that money? So I think they are dangling picks with Julius Randle to say, here, let's take this off the books. But again, I like Donovan Mitchell. I think Donovan Mitchell is phenomenal. But you got two dudes in the backcourt that are 6'3" and under. That's not gonna be big enough. So a piece of me saying that it has to be to get out of that to say, okay, we know this first year of this deal, we might be in a playing tournament, right? We're moving to get this dude off these picks, so now we open up some space because we get Randall's money off the contract. We New York. Everybody feels like they're from New York. Like everybody wants to go play in New York, and that's not the goddamn truth, but you can't tell them that. So if I get this dude and this dude, I get rid of that guy, I create some space, I can get a third dude to come in here with us. That's the plan.
Say that, Auntie.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize that music. That's the end of our live portion of the show tonight. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports on the 12th Man. Andre, are we rolling next Tuesday night? What's the deal?
Y'all can roll without me. I'm going to be driving to Destin, Florida. So stand by. Well, it's a maybe. If I get to Destin on time, then I'll hit you guys up. If I get there by 3 or so,
right.
maybe we'll pull it off. I love doing it. I love this show with my family. Go ahead.
JQ might be hosting next week if you're not fooling with the strippers. All right, so next week, Tuesday night, next week, 11 p.m. for those of you all on the East Coast, 10 p.m. for those of you all in the Central Time Zone, 9 p.m. in the mountains for those of you all out in California, Seattle, Oregon. It's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or some of y'all say in Mississippi, Pacific Standard Time. So it's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific, or if you're in Mississippi, Pacific Standard Time. All right. Good night, people.
Hang on. And in Weed, California, it's going to be 2 a.m.
Gary was calling us to take you from Weed, California. But that's a whole other conversation.
Oh, like W-E-E-D, California?
From Weed.
Where are you at, Gary? Where are
I'm
you
in
at,
Weed,
Gary?
California.
Don't Oxy Native sound like a bag of weed? Like, I said, hey, I got this Oxy Native for y'all.
I know, right? Look, he's coming in. like, what's going on? Who's coming into the show tonight? I was like, Auntie Betty. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, this is
rolling up this Auntie Betty. You stupid, Rob. Yeah, no, I appreciate y'all. Glad to be back. Sorry, I had extras I had to deal with today. So if you need me to handle that, Andre, I should be able to do that next Tuesday. I don't think I got any baseball next Tuesday, but we'll see.
More or less like just getting there in time, because I think we should be driving down. We should be there like around 4 or 5, and just making sure I have some time to kind of recoup and catch the batters and kind of figure out the location. But it'd be fun for the family
Wait. Did you say you expect to be there at 4 or 5? The call don't start till 11. You can't recuperate in 6 hours?
Bruh, it's a pretty – a lot of things happening. A lot of things happening. I got to spend time with family, you know, about
okay.
It's just a lot. I mean, I get you. You know, it's not like, you know.
Okay, well, I didn't
pop on the
I didn't know.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, it's all good. So it would be fun to, you know, like I said, for them to see what I do and that, but just time thing because, you know, you got to have a lot of things happening for sure. So, but, you know. That's what I wanted to go out there. I always enjoy seeing you guys, and I enjoy hosting, and it's fun, and everyone can see what I do because, you know, there's a lot of things happening in the background. I have my goddaughter with me, so just who knows what's going to happen. So that's what
oh, you got to do it then, man.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to set it off. You got to do it.
The Falcons will be practicing down in Destin because, yeah, Andre don't work if there's anything related to the Falcons. See?
You know, it's been like 10 years, man. 10 years.
He said Drake run to her. He ain't got to go to work.
That was like 10 years ago.
Hey, I told y'all in the draft preview, boy, Drake. I hate to see Drake London go to the Falcons because I told y'all in the draft preview, the dude is a stud. Wound up being the first wide receiver taken.
You started it though. You started it with that Randy McMichael stuff. You started it.
That was on me. That was on me. But it was funny because
that was 15 years ago.
That's true. But again, we're not talking about we ain't talking about my work ethics. I've grown so much since then. And come on, man, you can't keep living that back. But I would say this: whenever you talk about
you're still 5'7".
When you talk about 5'9 3/4, still Drake London. I was upset because. I still wanted Jordan Davis, right? I still wanted Jordan Davis, man. And I know you think he did okay during that, but I don't know. That's the one I'm still like hoping, a transcendent type of defensive tackle versus a wide receiver. You know, we'll see. But I know. You talk about the position and everything like that. So I know you're shaking your head, JQ. But
I'm shaking my head at Rob for what he just said. I'm not shaking my head at what you're talking about.
I just saw this little side comment in there about BB is 5'7", but I'm 5'9".
Hey, man, but on a serious note, man, I don't want to see Drake London and Kyle Pitts in the red zone, man. Shucks.
Yeah.
We're going to have to stop the Falcons in between the 20s. We don't want them to get in the red zone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jump balls for days, bruh. Jump balls for days, bitches.
What are you doing, Auntie Nettie? You know what? We're getting off here.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you want to talk about the top five offenses and then just jump off, and obviously we had the Hall of Fame coach pass. So if you can do this last topic, and we can wrap up the show and then get ready for next week. That's on you, JQ, if you want to talk about the top five college football offenses. Heading to this season.
Hey, die line, and die line. Ohio State, baby. I don't give a fuck about nobody. I don't give a damn about nobody else. Care about us. Y'all talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Five rappers. Die line, because I spit hot fire.
All I care about is not fuck that.
Oh, my God. I need you to play in Grand Theft Station holding a clown shoe. What the hell is he talking
about?
But
you knew what I was talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I was going to use that one of these days, but you kind of beat me to the punch, but that was amazing.
I can't argue with them with Ohio State. I mean, they might have the best quarterback wide receiver tandem in the country. So, you can't argue with them with Ohio State. Obviously, Bryce Young in Alabama.
Yeah.
You got to look at them as well. I'm interested to see USC with Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley. I think they could be right up there, too, as far as offense. Oklahoma with Dillon Gabriel, too, believe it or not. Even though they lost Caleb Williams and they lost Lincoln Riley, watch Oklahoma and their offense. You know, watch Texas with Quinn Ewers. And another one to watch is Wake Forest with Sam Hartman. They're going to be another one to watch offensively, too.
Did you say Wake Forest? If you don't stop that shit, stop it. It's not going to be goddamn Wake Forest. Come on, man.
Man, okay. Wake Forest was putting up 50 on just about everybody last year.
God.
Florida A&M.
I forget, you got anything to say?
North Carolina A&T. Fayetteville State.
I hate Rob. Go ahead, Gary. I'm not talking to him no more. It's all money. Go ahead. I'm not talking to him.
I would like to apologize.
I had to throw a Florida A&M.
Jake, you earlier about the whole golf thing. I didn't know you were on the line. Had I have known.
Yes, you did, goddammit. Yes, you did. You lied.
I know. I had my fingers crossed.
I just smoked. Y'all said, we California smoking that gush.
No, not me. Not this guy. Never. I can't.
Okay.
Never.
Do you have anything to say really quickly about the top five offenses? You going to throw Oregon in there, Gary, or what?
No.
Please do.
Okay.
For the love of everything that's holy. If y'all beat Georgia in week one, oh, my God. I'm going to talk so much shit. It's going to be bad.
I'm picking Oregon in week one.
Wow.
I ain't ready to make that pick, but I would love for it to happen, though, too.
And I'll show
you. Oh, my goodness.
You guys put hexes on teams. I'll show you a hex. Week one, Oregon. I'll show you a hex. I'll put a hex on Georgia so bad, they're gonna come out of there with their tails tucked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
No, like I said,
them dogs.
Okay.
Big. Go dogs.
I mean that's gonna be a tough one, Gary, because you know, again, you know, this is the. They're the national champions, you know, coming off of that, you know. So, I mean, I hear you. Like I said,
right.
I know.
And they're playing in Atlanta, too.
You know? I mean.
That's a good thing.
I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying that, like I said, there's a lot of pressure for them to come out and, you know, defend the title, you know. So, like you said.
They lose a lot in Atlanta.
Coach came from Georgia, right?
Yeah. Say it again.
Oregon's coach came from Georgia, correct?
The new
head coach.
He might have something for him. You know,
he's
just
the coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Might have something for him. Georgia only had 10 starters coming back from that championship team last year. I mean, that was a dominant team, and they still got a couple of pieces on that defense. There's going to be first round picks even in this coming up draft. As many players as they lost in this past draft, too.
I'm trying to cross all my fingers and my toes at the same time. I hope to God that shit happens. I swear I hope it got to happen. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be unbearable.
Don't worry. It's going to happen. Don't worry.
I can't wait. I hope so. Yes, let's do it.
Hey. Wake Forest is going to average 40 to 57 points a game this year.
Okay. All right. I'm out. Listen, anybody talk about Wake Forest is Chris Paul and Tim Duncan. Don't nobody give a damn about Wake Forest. If we don't stop talking about them, stop it. They're going to do it against NC State in North Carolina.
They're going to lead the ACC in scoring this year. In football, not basketball. In football.
If that's the case, the Clemson and Florida State and Miami should just revoke their memberships. 100%. If they let Wake Forest do that, they should quit playing football. Quit playing.
Well, watch Miami, though. Tyler Van Dyke could be a serious quarterback for Miami.
Yeah,
so Miami could be right up there with scoring points, too. Clemson's going to win on defense this year. They're going to be average offensively. They're going to win on defense. But, yeah, they're not going to put up the kind of points that Wake Forest and Miami are going to put up.
I don't know. Robin's been hanging with Auntie Mary. Robin must be hanging with Auntie Mary in East California. I don't know. But we'll see.
Hey. Y'all forgot Wake Forest won the ACC last year, right?
Rob, are you in Weed, California, too? You
no,
are, aren't you?
That's
exactly where he's at. That's exactly where he's at. Weed, California.
Andre, you an ACC fan. Who won the ACC football championship last year?
Yeah, we know Wake Forest won last year. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely correct. You know?
All right.
And
so they're not playing.
Can you pick it to beat Pittsburgh. Yeah,
now,
you know,
if they were playing Georgia and Clemson every week, I wouldn't say that. But based on their schedule, they're going to put up 40, 57 points every week. They're playing against North Carolina A&T and Fayetteville State and Florida A&M, Southern down there in Baton Rouge.
Hold on. They don't put up. Rob, damn it. Look, what the hell? Let me look at their schedule. You done got me. You got me. Like, man, I'm damn checking damn Wake Forest at fucking 7 o'clock in the morning. What the hell? Wake Forest schedule.
I'll be texting y'all every week, man. Look at Wake Forest. 70 points.
Rob,
yeah.
JQ. They play VMI.
Hartman,
they
throwing
they play Liberty.
Who are they playing week one?
I'm okay.
They play VMI week one.
VMI. I told y'all.
What
80 points right there.
Vanderbilt, Liberty, they Clemson,
yeah,
Florida State.
Liberty, Wake, Florida
then,
State, Boston College, NC State, Syracuse. They get okay, it gets better. They play Vanderbilt, Clemson, Army.
Oh, no, this is my score 50 points a game. They might score 50 points a game. That schedule is ridiculously stupid.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's what he was saying.
That schedule is horrible.
Liberty, VMI, Duke? I told you, North Carolina A&T, and Southern.
Army, Southern Boston Bill. College, Louisville, NC State, UNC, Syracuse, Duke. What? That's the best schedule. That schedule is trash.
The only game they might not score 40 is against Clemson.
And Florida State. They're not going to put 50 up on Florida State. I hate Florida State, but they're not going to put 50 up.
They're going to put 45 on Florida State. It might not be 50.
They will not put 45 on Florida State. What did you want to bet?
Bobby Bowden is not coming through that door of Florida State.
I understand that. Derrick Brooks ain't coming through that door
of Florida State.
Oh, so what's the name of that place we went to? Louisiana restaurant in Atlanta. The three of us went to.
Alpharetta?
Yes.
Oh,
I will bet you my meal versus your meal the next time you come that they don't put 45 on Florida State.
Let's wait to the week of the game and see how those teams are doing, and we'll look at
Let's do it right now. No money. Nah, man. We can see how they're doing.
All right, ready.
He ain't ready. This guy right here. He ain't ready to put his money down.
Hey.
Let's wait and see how they're doing.
No, man. What if Sam Hartman get hurt before then? Then I'm screwed. That's why I said wait for the week of the game.
What if all the defensive players go for the second get hurt? Then I'm screwed. I got the same level of risk.
But then, you know, we both bad, you know. But we got to look at the
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm getting off the phone. I'm getting off the phone with y'all. Let Auntie Nettie go back to Reed, California, and have some fun. It's still like 9:14 there. He's going to get him some blood flow. So,
told y'all, Wake Forest, BMI, Liberty, Army, Duke.
I didn't ask you about those. I asked about one game. You said they were going to put 45 more. I disagree.
JQ, that's my stripper name in Weed, California.
Auntie
Nettie? I got to get off this phone, too.
Yes.
It's damn near night.
I love y'all.
Deuces, guys. Be good.
Welcome back, JQ.
Yes, sir. I love y'all. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right.
Later.
Good night, fella.
Can't with y'all. I cannot. Auntie Nettie over here.